You're listening to Stand Tall and Own It, the podcast for high-performing female leaders who are ready to make an impact by discovering the safety that comes from understanding their own value and exercising their own authority. I'm your host, Andrea Johnson, and I'm here to tell you it is time to just truly be you, my strong friend. It's time to stand tall and own it. Hey, welcome back to Stand Tall and Own It. I am your host, Andrea Johnson, and today I get to reintroduce you to my coach and friend, Allegra Stein. I met Allegra 3 or 4 years ago when I was doing some research for a podcast guest that I was having on when I first started this podcast, back when it was called Intentional Optimists, Unconventional Leaders. And I noticed that this person that I was interviewing, Allegra, was connected somehow and had interviewed her on her podcast. And so I checked her out. And literally that evening, I purchased her group coaching program out of the blue. I've never done anything like that. And the only thing I can attribute it to is that she was speaking the language I needed to hear. Now, I came from a university background where we had used Gallup as an employee engagement tool. It was a measurement of how employees were feeling about the way we were doing our work and whether or not they felt seen and heard and that kind of thing. But in her work, Allegra uses part of the tool that she uses is literally the results from the Clifton Strengths Finder. Now, if you've never seen this tool before, it is really fun. It looks a little bit like a DNA strand, and they give you 34 different strengths and talents that you're good at. And being able to look at those and to see Gallup from a completely different light opened my eyes to a whole new set of possibilities. She and I had a wonderful conversation and I cannot wait for you to hear it. I know that you are going to really find something great in this conversation, and you will be excited to learn that you get to celebrate your strengths rather than just working on your weaknesses. I can't wait for you to meet her. Here is my friend and coach, Allegra Stein. Hey, Allegra, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here. I love when we have an opportunity to have conversations, so I'm excited.
Yeah. And I have just introduced my audience to you again, because it's a little bit of a different audience. It's a newer audience with a new kind of pivot to my podcast and talking about standing tall and owning it. And so for those who have not met you yet, because you're pivoting at this moment too, give us a brief kind of background and bio of kind of who you are, and that will kind of set the stage for our conversation.
Sure. So my background was in wildlife biology. That was where I went my undergraduate degree. And then I fast forwarded through a lot. I joined the Peace Corps and I was in Teach for America, and then ended up getting married and starting my family. And after having my two kids, was trying to figure out what my next step was going to be. And a friend recommended, she said, you know, you're very easy to talk to. You should consider going into a field like that. And while trying to figure out what that path might be, I discovered coaching. I really knew nothing about it. Coaching is a vast, vast, vast field. But I found a particular tool that caught my eye, and I decided to get a certification in that. And that was almost 13 years ago. So that was my very first kind of training. Mm. And ever since then, I've been on my own, doing my own thing, meaning not only delivering the coaching and the experiences and designing all this stuff, but also the business of being a soloist, which, you know,
I understand.
How to find clients, how to, you know, develop an audience of people who are interested in what you're saying. So I like to say that I've done and tried it all, because I really have experimented with lots and lots of different things, different ways of working with people, different problems and journeys that I like supporting people on, and different ways of sharing and teaching. And, the past 4 years, really, I turned a focus towards supporting and teaching and working with other coaches who are newer on the journey, trying to share everything I wish I had known and invite people to lean into their unique gifts as they consider how they want to best help people. And now this year, I was recently accepted into a master's program that I'm going to be starting at the end of May in creativity and change leadership. So that marks kind of the next chapter. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to change my work, but I know that it will. And I'm very eager and ready for that revealing, you know, that emergence.
Cool. One of the things I love about you is that I was just kind of, before we started recording, I was like saying, so what do we actually call you now? And one of the things I love is that you're really hard to pin down, which means you have this ability to relate to a lot of different people and find the points of commonality that, because I was in your group for newer coaches. And so I know what that's like to experience that kind of, I don't know, I guess we'll call it coaching, but it was almost like guidance, you know? I mean, going back to your wildlife stuff, it's almost like a tour guide or a forest guide or something. And being able to see all the different kinds of coaches that were in that community.
Yeah.
I mean, I made some great friends through that community and some good colleagues and learned from so many different people doing so many different things. And I kind of see that as a beautiful thing for so for you to now be going into creative change management. I'm
Yeah.
just like, I'm sitting here going, oh, that sounds, I get cold chills. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I've made this distinction before about like the art of our craft and then the business of our craft. And I feel like I'm going back into the art of something. I was just on a conference call yesterday, and it's like to just be in a room talking with people about how creativity ties into so many different parts of our work and our lives, how to facilitate creative intelligence development and creative problem solving. And so but to what you were saying earlier, yeah, I've always had a hard time pinning down my title since I've been on this path. Like, and I don't think that's uncommon. It's, you know, when I was a teacher, I taught at the middle school and high school level. It was very easy to introduce myself as a teacher. But I've actually found in the past few years that I'm more likely to lead with teacher and mentor and coach. Like, there's still coaching part of what I do, but as I've really leaned into and embraced my strengths, I think I'm more of a brainstormer, activator. That's really big for me. A mentor and teacher when talking about experience that I've had a lot of. So sometimes I'll work with clients one-on-one who are also developing their work as a coach. And oftentimes it's, you know, hey, Allegra, I'm thinking about this. And I can come in and say, oh, I've tried that. Like I've done that. Like, do you want some ideas, some support, some guidance, things that I've learned? That's what I've been motivated by these past few years, is just being an open book and sharing everything I've learned with hopes that it helps someone else. So.
Yeah, and I find myself moving through those different types of titles too. I think the more
Yeah.
we know ourselves, especially as an entrepreneur, right? If you're in corporate and you have, or you're a teacher, you have a title that makes it very clear what you do. But even when I was working in the university system and I was in research administration, people thought I was a grant writer, and I was consistently having to explain, no, I'm an administrator. I do the budget part, I help you get it submitted. And so there was a lot of confusion there. So I'm kind of used to explaining myself. But as an entrepreneur, I wanted something that felt like I'm a teacher or I'm a business person, you know. And I think I'm landing more in the area of facilitator.
Oh, I love facilitating. Yes, I'm like, I love
Because
facilitating.
I find my jam is group programs. I kind of knew that, but I really wasn't comfortable with it because there's so much teaching out there about how you need to do this many individuals before you do group. But that's just where it works for me. It just works better for me. But I also love workshops because I love the interaction. But before we go too far into all of the different things there, part of the reason that you've been willing to do these things and try all these different things is, I mean, you mentioned a tool. I'm pretty sure it's not the tool we're going to talk about today, but I know you've also been certified in the UMAP, which utilizes both the Clifton Strengths Finder, which is the tool that we're going to kind of focus on today, as well as values and skills.
Yep.
And as we joined your program, we joke about the fact that I didn't know you at all, and I was one of those people that,
I
you know, you talk
believe
about. I took the leap, and you talk about the business side of being able to explain to people what we do and why we do it, and it resonating well. I mean, I discovered you on one day and the next day joined your program at full price, and I mean, just paid the whole thing, you know. And I'd never done that before. But even looking back on that, I think it's because you were so strong in your strengths and you were playing to them and they
Yeah.
resonated with mine.
Yes.
And part of that program was doing our Clifton strengths.
Yes.
And kind of playing around with them and kind of celebrating them. So as somebody who's done that for a long time, could you give our audience an idea of what the Strengths Finder is like and kind of how you use it?
Yeah. So
basics. Yeah.
Just to make sure the context is clear, the tool that I became certified in, and which I now, I'm also an accredited trainer in it now. So I have led some certifications for people who want to learn it. Is called UMAP. So UMAP is the assessment, and UMAP includes, right, like we've talked about, the Clifton Strengths Finder results. And it also has a values, a skills, and a personality pillar. So it's like four assessments in one. I've done workshops and work that are strengths focused, and I love strengths, and I'm really excited to chat about it. And I also just want to plant the seed that, really having this holistic picture of strengths along with values, skills, and interests can really round out. It's almost like it's a pantry with different kinds of ingredients. And I love the strengths ingredients, but don't forget about those other ones too. So.
Oh, no, I'm going to stop you there. I think that's phenomenal. Thank you. You've done a beautiful job. No, because that's part of why we're talking about these different tools, because they are big tools that are in my pantry that I've been able to use, that I have been, that have laid the foundation for me so that I can actually weather storms and I can actually make changes and I can pivot in my business and I can handle, you know, illnesses that come in my family. And people look at me and say, how did you, well,
I know.
Yeah. It's like, I had to learn about myself. And part of that was understanding this piece and this piece and this piece. So Strengths Finder is one of the pieces in the pantry. So that's a beautiful explanation.
Awesome. And will you remind me of your top five?
Yes. Let's see.
This would be a good segue into kind of explaining the tool so people can get it.
Connection.
Uh-huh.
Relator. Activator. Maximizer. And strategic.
Oh, that's awesome. So we share... Mm-hmm. Three of our top five, if you don't remember. Relator, Activator, and Maximizer. And I can understand now, I can see the connector there. But so Clifton Strengths Finder, it was developed by a company called Gallup, and it was designed by the psychologist Don Clifton, who identified, his whole thing was, you know, a lot of assessments were designed to show people what wasn't right about them for a particular role. So let's say in the military, they were trying to filter out people for certain roles. And they would be like, well, we need to give this assessment to see what's wrong with them and them and them. So we exclude them, let's say, from this position. Clifton came in and said, I want to design something completely opposite that shows people what's right with them. He recognized, he's like, let's just show people what they're really good at. Why don't we start there? And so he identified these 34 natural talents. That's really what, if you really get into it, strengths are when natural talents are used on purpose and with intention.
Mm.
So a natural talent, everybody listening has natural talents, the things that come most naturally to them. They become a strength when used on purpose and with intention. So the assessment, all it does is just a series of questions. And what it does is it essentially ranks a person's natural talents from 1 to 34. And the initial report you can get, it's not inaccessible. I think it's very reasonably priced.
$25.
Top five.
Yeah, $25.
$25, you can, you take the assessment and it gives you your top five report. So you can see, what are my top five natural talents? And that's what I was asking you about. So my top five talents, number one is relator. And that's probably what you sense before. It's like, I just always love connecting and chatting with people. I'm also a high ideator. I love ideas and brainstorming, and other people have ideas. I sometimes get more excited about someone's idea than they are about it. I'm an activator. I like to help people get into action. It's an influencing strength. So really helping people start to take action on something. So, I started working with a client recently who was like, I just need an activator on my team. That's what I am. A maximizer, which is, you know, seeing how can we make things better. And I'm high adaptability. I'm very easygoing. I tend to get restless. I tend to, when things kind of get stable and start to plateau in my work, that's when I start to like be like, but I want to do something. It's not uncommon. And so, yeah, so I really, really enjoy when I meet someone or when I start working with someone to use an assessment like CliftonStrengths to figure out like, what things come most naturally to you? At least as demonstrated by this particular assessment, it's been around for a very long time. It's very well researched. Different people have different relationships with assessments.
Yeah.
We have to be very careful not to feel pigeonholed. I tell people all the time that the tool works for you. You don't work for the tool. Because I never want someone to look at it and just think, oh, this is me now.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to say, no. Like it's just a collection of language that you can choose to use if you would like, right. If you find it says something about you that's helpful.
Well, and one of the things that was helpful for me was one of the people I met through your program. One of her skills is actually helping people dive into the strengths and kind of we reordered them. And I thought that because I know that was one of the exercises that you presented for us to do, and I just couldn't do that by myself. And I don't know if it was that I was trying to see them as that pigeonhole, but I just couldn't do it on my own. And so having this other person to walk me through that was really helpful to ask me, what are the things that matter? So when I offered them to you just now, I offered them in my reordered
that's great.
State because connectedness really is more important to me than relator, which shows up as my number one in the assessment.
Yeah.
So, and you even shared there's like, just as basics for other people, there's four basic domains. There's executing, you mentioned influencing, relationship building, and strategic.
Yep.
And, so when people come to you and you work with them in this, how do you, I mean, obviously it's something that is just a tool and you've explained that part, but how do you normally use it with them to help them kind of move forward? Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode. Now, whether you're a longtime listener or if you've just discovered us, if this episode inspires you, it would mean so much to me if you would scroll down in your Apple app, tap the 5-star review, and write a simple sentence or two. No, you don't need to write an essay. Just let me know what resonates with you. When you do this, you're letting me and my team know that this is the kind of content that is valuable to you and what we can offer you in the future. It also lets other listeners know that this show is valuable and worth their time to listen. You can stand tall and own the impact you have by taking just a few seconds to leave us a review. Who knew it could be that simple? And now, back to the show.
So, it's very, very, very contextual. So it's, you know, if someone just wants to know what their strengths are, that's a pretty quick exercise. I say, well, take the assessment. Let me review the profile with you. Do you understand what it's saying? What do you think? You know, I'd like to invoke stories. I think that's really powerful. And I think there's something really important here around the difference between taking an assessment and using an assessment. So there are people who have like negative connotations with assessments. Maybe they've had to take one as part of their work, or, you know, they just took one on their own and they're like, this wasn't very useful at all.
Mm-hmm.
I like to come back and say, it's not the assessment. It's the follow-up on the assessment. It's were you taught what it means and were you given space and support to start using it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really such an important distinction here because people might be listening and thinking, I'm going to go take my strengths assessment. And don't get me wrong, I think everyone should know these things about themselves. And unless there's a commitment to really sit down with and consider the results and absorb them and notice what comes up and to think deeply, not only about how to own those gifts, and that could be an interesting thing to chat about too. Like sometimes people really resist their results, which is a different topic, which we can talk about, but but to own the results and then to start using them and applying them is really, really, really important. So back to your question, it all starts with what a client wants to do or is not doing. And that kind of changes how the conversation about their strengths, or if we do a full UMAP, a different pillar, let's say, how the relevance of that information comes into play for them. Sometimes it helps explain why people feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it might explain why someone feels like they're underutilized at work. It may explain why a path a person thinks they should be going down doesn't feel right energetically. Sometimes it helps explain why there's relationship conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it kind of depends on what the individual is looking for clarity around.
Yeah. And just looking at my, when I look at my own, the little five, mm-hmm. it's called an insight guide when you get it. It's just a little five. It talks about your top five, and it tells you what order they are when we take it. But then I went through my PDF and it's like highlights everywhere and comments and everything, because that's, to me, I'm not going to take a tool and use it if I'm not going to purchase a rake if I'm not going to use it on the leaves in my yard.
That's right.
Right. So why am I going to even, if it's free, that's a little different, but if I'm going to even $25, if I'm going to plunk it down, and I'm going to invest in doing that, I'm going to actually walk through it. And so being able to walk through and say, man, this was very validating for me in many areas. And it was both internally and externally validating. And it gave me reasons for why certain things were happening well. And why, like, for instance, why people would just come and seek my insights. Like, I don't have any experience in that area. Why are you coming to me? And that's part of the relator, is that I can connect with people. And it, like you, your friends, people said to you, people like to talk to you, you mm-hmm. know? And I think, so it may be today, if I reordered them, it would go back to the top relator. But, you know, and I think that as we mature, they show up differently, don't they? Because I love the fact that they call them talents.
Yes. And I don't know if you've checked yet, but when they've redesigned the report.
Oh, I haven't.
Next time you have a chance, log back into your Gallup account.
Okay.
It's called the Top 5 Report.
Okay.
It's got more info in it.
Okay.
So it's worth looking into. I think you'll really enjoy. I don't think you're going to see anything that like feels significantly different than what you have in your insight guide, but they did just in the last month or two kind of re-release it as the Top 5 Report. And there are a few other little sections to it. So enjoy.
So when someone sits down and considers it, you talked about owning the results and using them. Uh-huh. I think for me, you know, the new name for my podcast is Stand Tall and Own It, because all of the things that I have learned, I have to say, well, I have to own these things. You know, information is just information. I mean, I came out of medical research, right? So data is data. It's what you do with data that matters. Yeah. It's how you interpret the data that matters. So how does that play a role? Like you talked about people owning the results.
So here's something I've learned about myself and with others and just knowing strengths. If I start talking to someone new and they say something about themselves that sounds a bit self-critical, you know, they'll be like, oh, I'm so flighty.
Mm.
Oh yeah. My friends tell me I'm like a Pollyanna, or I don't know. Tell me anything, any self-judgment or criticism
mm-hmm.
is oftentimes for me an indicator of one of their top strengths. Because the gifts that we have can be overused. This is really important. Left unchecked, strengths can be overused. And when strengths are overused, other people tend to feel that. And we might feel misunderstood, yes. When we are young, it's oftentimes the things that we might get criticized for that our parents might tell us to stop doing. Stop doing that. Why are you thinking so much about it? You're just thinking too much, right?
My dad would say, what is all this belly button gazing? And I'm like, what? I know, but and this is where connectedness comes in.
Yeah.
You know, when I look at it and I'm validated, I'm like, oh, I really am a philosopher at heart. Yes. And but it, you know, it was perceived as belly button gazing.
That's right. And you know, and maybe we absorb all those messages.
Yeah.
I am a high activator and maximizer. When those two strengths are being overused, I'm very impatient. I want to just like, what do you mean? Like, let's just go, let's just do it. And so if someone, you know, when I hear, I'm just impatient. I'm like, oh, I bet that is pointing towards your greatest gift.
Yeah.
So what happens is when someone takes this assessment for the first time, now, when I took it, I think similar to you, when I read my report, it was like, it was so bad. I was so happy, so excited. I could not believe that ideator and activator in particular were strengths. Mm-hmm. It blew my mind. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, this is just, this is a strength on this assessment. I never would have imagined. And it was so validating, and adaptability. I mean, everything about it, just, I've seen the opposite.
Yeah.
I've seen people look at their results and go, oh, this isn't right. It usually comes as like, this isn't right. These aren't right. And I like to sit in that space with them and just hold, at least for myself, like, is it that it's not right, or that you don't want this to be right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of past traumas, past, you know, criticism. Sometimes there's a resistance to owning it because there's like a felt sense that they might not be on the right path, but there's a story that they should stay on it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a, oh no, no, I can't be this, because to stay on the path, I have to be a certain way.
Mm.
Right. Cause and this is the path I have to be on. So I have to be a certain way to be on this path. And you're telling me that this is more my natural way, but if I'm my more natural way, then I can't go down this path.
Mm.
And then who am I?
Right.
And so that sometimes comes up for people.
Mm.
And that's where it's really helpful to work with a coach who can hold the space to have those conversations and to be a neutral observer and take a stand for these being a person's superpowers. Mm. And it has happened countless, countless times that a week passes, 2 weeks pass, 2 weeks pass, and a person will come back and be like, oh, I see it now.
Mm.
And I'm starting to love it. Mm. And that's, so I never believe a person the very first time if they're like resistant. I mean, I want the data to be right. I always check. I'm like, how did you feel when you took it?
Yeah.
Were you out of sorts? Were you answering in ways you thought you should answer and not natural? You know, so, you know, assessments aren't for everybody.
Right.
But this one I have found more often than not just really lands, even if it's edgy.
Yeah. And I mean, I have a family member who is like, yeah, I've taken a couple assessments and I just am who I am.
Yeah. I'm like,
okay, you know, and you can perceive that however you want to perceive it, but they are comfortable in their skin and they are not looking for, you know, something else. And
yes,
every time they take something, like, yeah, that's me. And they just move on.
Like,
okay. You know, maybe they're just really aware and they just really know who they are. But
I think I'd be interested in that moment of like, cool, tell me who you are.
I know.
Like, I'd be so curious if someone said I am, I'd be like, that's awesome. So who are you? And that's where assessments can be really valuable, is if someone struggles to explain who they are.
Mm.
That was really helpful for me. It's like,
go a little deeper on that. I think that's really important.
I mean, I just knew I had a sense of self-confidence. You know, I had this innate sense that I was good at stuff, that things did come that, but I couldn't maybe tell you what they were.
Mm.
I didn't quite, you know, it's just like saying, I am who I am. It's like, well, who is that? It's like, I can't quite explain it. I just know that I'm doing good. And like, I do these things well. And so when I saw the report, one of the most valuable parts of it for me and the whole UMAP really was the language that it gave me.
Yes.
It gave me language to describe myself. And when I had the language to describe myself, that's when I was able to create stuff that was more explicitly captured it, which is what you probably felt in the way that I talked about my work and who I am and what my values are and what my personality is. Because before that, I don't know that I could have expressed it in the way that I do now.
Yeah. And I
didn't take all of it. Some of it you look at, you know, the tool works for you. You don't work for the tool. So when people read stuff on reports, whatever report it is, if they're like, that's not right, I'll be like, fine. crossed off. But is there something that is right? And if there's even one phrase or sentence that when you read it, you go, oh, that's me. It's like, yeah, take that, like work that into your ecosystem, because having words and language to describe things is very empowering. Sorry, I interrupted you.
No, I was going to interrupt you. So, you know, we're equal. but I think that, number one, I felt the same way. I felt this gave me language to explain why certain things were happening. And like I said earlier, it was both internal and external, because other people were seeing things and I didn't know, and they were seeing them maybe as negatives. Right. And so it gave me the ability to say, oh, actually, okay, I don't. And like you said, if they go too far, right? So it gave me the ability to pull things, certain things back, but at the same time, to still see them as a superpower.
Yes.
But I also didn't highlight every word of my report. I mean, yes. I just didn't. And one of the comments I had on Maximizer is, I joke about, this one shows up for me more in my work with people than it does in myself.
Right.
This does not. And that's one of the things I said. It's like, this is barely clearly seen in my behavior with other people. I can take your thing and go, woo, all the way, you know, like fireworks and everything. But my stuff, it's like, this is, I don't know, it's my assumptions, belief, and conditioning that I'm still working on, maybe. Or that's just the way it shows up for me better. But did that spark something for you?
Influencing strength. Maximizer is an influencing strength.
Oh, so it's designed, the purpose is for it to show up outside of me. Okay.
That's right.
Well, then I read it right.
Now, it could show up in you. Like, I sometimes, I guess, and I'm trying to think, like, I'm more of a, what shows up more for me personally is my adaptability and my ideator. Like, my ideator strength and adaptability is more in my own life, where I build something. I love to start. I love to design and start.
Yeah.
But I have long said that the minute something kind of plateaus, even if it's going really, 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 really well, even if it's successful and I'm getting good feedback, I get restless.
Yeah.
I know this about it. And I can stick with things. It's not that I haven't. I completed school. I'm able to commit to things for long stretches of time. But professionally in particular, there is a moment where I'm suddenly like,
What's next?
Now, I don't know if that's the maximizer, because again, maximizer is more of an influencing strength. So it's activator.
Right.
But, so I just wanted to reflect that back to you.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Are my relationships, but not so much with me. I'm like, well, of course, because it's not an executing strength.
Right.
It's an influencing strength.
Well, the one that shows up most for me is the one that I usually put at my top, which is connectedness.
Yeah.
That's the one that I see as my most personal.
Oh, yeah.
And it just explains my empathy. It explains my desire to see all the sides. It explains, you know,
yeah,
everything is truly, we don't, I mean, that whole butterfly effect, you know, it's like, I hate to take it quite that far, but you know, there's the maximizer for you. But
well, and with your strategic, I bet you are just like, boop, 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 boop. I can just imagine that is like, come to you when I'm having a hard time connecting dots and like seeing how things fit together. I can just imagine being like,
patterns. It's like I see them everywhere.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But it also, it kind of, that gives me also the ability to look throughout history, to look at current events and say, how is this different from this thing? Or how is what we're dealing with now any different than what we dealt with 100 years ago? And my husband will be like, no, this is new. I'm like, seriously? And
that's amazing.
You know, and so I see those kinds of things. So strategic also gives me this ability to see the different ways to go, right? It's like a roadblock comes up and I'm like, but surely there's 5 other paths. And, yeah, you know, awesome. It just doesn't even occur to me until, you know, there's a few of them, like taxes. It's like, oh, there's no other path. I can't find the path. What's going on? But those are the kinds of things that I find to be really helpful when I use this one, because it is something that I use both in my business, reminding myself who I am, and in my personal growth, reminding myself who I am.
Love
in
it.
Different ways.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so awesome you're taking a stand for that for other people, Andrea. Like, it's really, this podcast is your maximizer at work.
Oh, I have not thought of that. Oh, I like that.
It's your maximizer and your activator. Those are both high. Those are both important influencing strengths. And I suspect it's what feeds your willingness to show up, to mm-hmm. be public. I mean, you are an example of someone who's willing to be seen and to be yes. heard and to share your thoughts. And I suspect that that maximizer and activator is a lot of behind it. And you're like, you want to help people improve. I mean, it's, you know, well, stand tall and own it. I'm like, oh, there's a maximizer right there. So if you hadn't connected those dots, I just want you to maybe consider.
I hadn't. Thank you. And that's just a good example of how just even having a conversation with someone else who's willing to talk about this stuff
yeah.
makes a difference for you, because I connect a lot of dots for people, but sometimes I don't see my own dots to connect.
I know.
And but being able to look at the activator piece and say, people used to tell me, yeah, you just went a little deep too fast, or you just told me to, you got any stories that aren't personal? I'm like, well, no, these are the best ones. Mm-hmm. And that's part of what I own. And I say, I'm going to learn something and I'm going to share it with you. If I've had a struggle, I'm going to share it with you. If I've had a win, I'm going to share it with you. And so as I work with people, I'm constantly looking for their personal stories to help them see their own path.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So for you, as you move into this new venture and this new study and this really exciting piece, how do you think your, other than looking at back at how Activator kind of pushes you into new things. As you go, I feel like you're getting closer and closer to like the kernel of what you're looking for. And this is a very specific kind of work that you're going to learn how to do, right? That you're going to yeah. get this education in. How have you learned how to like embrace your strengths and stand tall and own those in order to move in this direction? What got you there?
I mean, I have known that I have always enjoyed kind of new cycles of things. You know, before I had kids, it was felt like almost every 2 years. Mm. And it's not in my personal relationships, right? Like I don't get restless in those. It's really in like my kind of professional, maybe creative work that mm-hmm. I really enjoy the opportunity to try new things almost every few years. Like sometimes it's a shorter cycle, sometimes mm-hmm. it's longer. But I think knowing my top strengths, and in this path that I'm going down in particular, my ideation, my activator, my maximizer is definitely going to have a chance to come at play. I'm really excited to build new relationships, to kind of like see what happens when I start to connect with new people and have new conversations. So my relator feels very soothed, you know, it's almost yeah. like purring. You're like, okay, there it is. and being adaptable is really, I think adaptability and creativity go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when I stumbled upon this program and started reading about it and looking at the course, I'm like, oh, this was made for me.
Mm.
I just was like, this just, and the skills that it asks that it's going to be developing, I have a skill set in. So things like teaching, things like facilitation, things mm-hmm. like guidance and leading workshops and conversations. Like I have the architecture and the skill set in place, I think, to really utilize everything that I'm going to be learning in ways I'm very, very excited about. Yeah, it feels like, and that's one of the benefits of learning these things about ourselves, is that we can choose pathways that are the right fit for who we are because we know who we are. Yeah. I think a lot of times people go through life on default and oftentimes responding or going down pathways based on stories they've got, external pressures, things they think they should be doing, but not, you know, but with this sense of there being a misfit for some reason, but not knowing why.
Mm-hmm.
And I think having immersed myself and being so fluent in my own strengths and values, that's a big one too. It's like yep. creativity is one of my top values. So it's like, oh, I have the opportunity to go study creativity. Okay. Like it's a huge values alignment, experimentation, mm-hmm. trying new things.
Mm.
My personality, I'm, I'm a helper, but I also am a creator. Mm-hmm. That's like part of my personality type. So that I know those things and I'm so just like steeped in my pantry.
Yeah.
I'm just so familiar with my ingredients because I've been intentionally working with them for years now.
Mm.
When an opportunity like this comes my way, I can really, it's like there's a filtering that's happening, but it's on my terms.
Mm. I like that.
You know, I'm able to say, are you the right fit for me? Because I think a lot of times we go through life trying to like, am I the right fit for you? Am I the right fit for this? Am I the right
fit?
Yes. And we shapeshift and mm-hmm. we like think we have to be something that we're not because this is the right way. And so I'm kind of all over the place with that answer, but perhaps
no, it's good.
Needs of things to think about.
Well, because I think it would be easy for us to just say, well, this is how it manifests for me and this is how it manifests for you.
Mm.
But I do want people to hear that just because you and I share several, like three of our top five,
yeah,
doesn't mean, because I think the other piece that's very valuable to me, when I did do all 34, I'd like paid the extra like yeah. to $45 yeah. or something to get all 34, to look down at the very bottom and see the ones that were down there.
I love that.
You know, I mean, it's like, I don't have to be embarrassed. This is not a natural talent of mine. You know,
yeah.
I mean, following through and persistence and detailing, it's like, no, you know.
Did you see my email from the other day about like the gift of inconsistency?
I did.
I was like, that hit me like a bolt of lightning literally that morning. I just thought, I've always thought being inconsistent was like kind of my, you know, Achilles heel and like
yeah. a weakness.
Low on my list. I focus and discipline and like stick to itiveness and achiever. I mean, achiever is my number 34. And that morning I was like, you know what? Because consistency is a step, I've tried a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that actually explains that. I saw the positive spin on it of being mm-hmm. like, yeah, I am. Consistency is tough for me. And here's the gift in that. And
yeah.
It's like a willingness to try and do a lot of different things, I guess.
Well, and that kind of brings us back to the whole reason that this assessment was created. It's like, we're tired of telling people what they're not. Let's tell people yeah. what they are.
Yeah.
And that just goes towards my own personal positive bent of, and I always wanted to just celebrate the strengths. I never wanted to work on the weaknesses. You know, it's just like, that just does not, that doesn't even remotely sound good to me. And, you know, so now I am learning how to augment things. I am learning how to accomplish things because we do have the business side, or we do have the things that we have to do, whether we're in corporate or, you know, because even when you look at Clifton Strengths, a lot of what they tell you is if you could spend 20% of your day,
yeah,
you know, doing the things that really work for you, then that's going to help you out a lot. And you're going to have the energy to do other things. And if you get, you know, if you are allowed to actually be in your strengths for a while, then you feel more seen and you feel, but if you don't know what they are,
yeah,
can't communicate them.
That's right.
So you are still going back to school, but yeah. you are still taking some one-on-one clients.
Yeah.
What is the best place for people to get in touch with you and, you know, how can they work with you?
Oh, thanks for asking. Yes. I've decided to really simplify and focus on one-on-one partnerships for the coming season. I really enjoy that work. For a long time, I've been like teaching classes and leading groups and workshops because I love that stuff too. But I also love when I can work with an individual person on their specific things, you know, 1 week to the next. And so, yeah, people can find me at my website, allegrastein.com. There is a tab there, says work together. And it explains a little bit more about the partnership, and you can schedule a time to chat. These chats really are, they're like, tell me what you're up to. And is this a fit? So if anyone's looking for some partnership around things, they can check that out. Or in the social land, I'm spending more time on LinkedIn these days, actually. I'm enjoying kind of redeveloping some relationships and sharing there. And if neither of those are an option, but someone just wants to kind of stay in the ecosystem, on the front page of my website is an option to just sign up for the newsletter. I email every so often.
I was going
to
say, that's like inconsistent. Right? So it's not going to hammer you. So if having an inconsistent, because mine is inconsistent. I was walking with a friend and I said, can I just kind of, I don't always feel like putting something out. And she said, Andrea, when you put something out, you have something to say. Yes. And therefore I appreciate reading it. I'm like, oh, I never thought of it that way.
You know what someone said to me once? They're like, it's like a little surprise.
Yes.
Because no one knows when they're going to hear from you. And I'm like, right. That's what it is. We're not inconsistent, Andrea. We're really good at just surprising people.
We love to like, surprise. My mother called them happies, right? We just do little happies for people.
I know.
And you also have kind of rebooted a podcast.
Oh, I have. Oh, thanks for noticing. Yes. Yeah, so my podcast is called Peregrine. And
like the Falcon.
If anyone wants to listen, the first episode is out now. It's called Welcome to Peregrine. And it just explains why I chose the title and the spirit of Peregrine around wandering and discovery and exploration and adaptability. So I wanted to re-release a podcast under a new name because I am in this place of I don't quite know where the path is going to take me. I'm not quite sure what's going to emerge, but I wanted to create it's like a little idea sanctuary where I can just show up with whatever it is that I'm learning, or I mean, I have an idea already that I just want to record about and put out with hopes that it helps somebody. So yeah, that would be awesome if someone wants to check it out or subscribe or whatever we do with podcasts, you know?
Sure. And just if you're listening, Allegra is just as conversational in person on a Zoom call. Well, actually in person, we've never done in person, but on a Zoom call, one-on-one, and on her podcast. So there's, she used to call yourself the coach in the hoodie. And if you're on YouTube, you're seeing it, right?
She's very on brand today.
She is on brand today. So you'll find that even if you need to dive into some hard things, like why you think your strengths are not strengths or something like that, she's a gentle place to land. She creates a nice little comfy place. So thank you so much for coming back on the show and just kind of rekindling some of this for us and reminding us why it's important to celebrate our strengths.
Oh my gosh, Andrea, thank you so much for inviting me back. I'm happy to chat about things anytime. And it just means a lot that you would introduce me to your audience and give us the space to have this chat. It's meant a lot.
Good, because there's a gold mine here. So thank you.
Thank you.
Are you one of those people who follows all the rules but still feel like you're getting nowhere? Like your boundaries are constantly under attack and you're busy with all this stuff that just doesn't matter, constantly choosing between what's right for you or what's right for your organization? And with all that self-help information out there, how do you know exactly what's going to work for you to help you overcome this stuff? Well, you can clear the clutter and become the exceptional leader you were meant to be when you know your core values. You see, when you don't, decisions are rough. Processes can be muddy, and boundaries, forget it. But when you do, you live and lead with authenticity and passion. Just imagine feeling clear about your decisions, comfortable in your relationships, and confident in your boundaries. That's what my Uncovering Your Core Values digital course will do for you. You'll reveal your foundational convictions, allowing you to navigate any situation with your identity and authority intact. It's time to make some real impact, my friend. Head over to theintentionaloptimist.com/values or click the link in the show notes and get clarity today.